Are you still waiting for your web project to go live? Let me guess, you're waiting on the content. Or maybe the client sent you the content, but now you're waiting for them to send you the content that matches the site. Well, it's a challenge for anyone working in web development, and agencies will be only too familiar with this problem, but it's one that can be solved. Yes, there is a way to do this better. So keep listening to this podcast to understand how you can ditch endless email trails, massive attachments, and messy Google Docs. Gather content and files in one place with automated content reminders with a tool that we're going to be talking about today. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Ben Aston, founder of the Digital Project Manager. Welcome to the DPM podcast. Whether you're a seasoned project manager, a digital producer, or something else entirely, maybe you just found yourself somehow in charge of managing projects. Just know that today, in your headphones, you're joined by thousands of others in the same boat, trying their best to start, plan, and deliver better projects. We at the DigitalProjectManager.com are here to help you become more confident and skilled as a project manager. And we're here to connect you with others who are managing and leading projects too. If you really want to level up and take your PM game to the next level, check out our DPM school. And be sure to sign up for our pro membership to get access to all our curated resources. Finally, while you're listening to the show, please subscribe and join our mailing list on the digitalprojectmanager.com to stay up to date with all that's going on. Today, I'm joined by James Rose. James is the co-founder of Content Snare that we're going to be talking about and Actura Technology. He was once a web designer, and now he's trying to help designers and developers regain their lives, work less, and get better clients. So hi, James.
Ben, it is very awesome to be here, other than the fact that I'm currently being attacked by pathogens received from an Uber driver the other day.
Well, glad you could make it. So, I mean, tell us what you're doing now. You're running your own SaaS product, and you're also running a development shop. Can you tell us a bit about those?
Yeah, so we've been in the software game for a very long time now. I think we founded our business in 2010. So we built a software product back then, and then we ended up kind of building software for other people, like our client, you know, typical agency type thing. So that's our development shop, Actura Technology. Yeah. And I mean, that's fairly, we just build custom stuff for people. But in that process, we also used to build a lot of websites. And yeah. As your intro might suggest, content is a big problem for a lot of people, and it was for us. And throughout, I guess I did a lot of networking with web designers, and it seemed to be a really big problem with everybody. And at the time, we were trying to find another problem to solve, because software is kind of where our heart is. And that it sort of clicked in. I went, man, we've got to build something to help our own process for content collection. Yeah. And all these other web designers need help as well, all these other agencies. So that's kind of how Content Snare started. And that's now what we have. We have a SaaS, I guess, it's a software product, a platform that helps people collect content from clients on time and without all the, you know, the delays and the messy attachments and everything that usually comes along with that process.
Yeah, cool. So let's talk about Content Snare in just a minute. But first, I want to backtrack on how you got to this place where you're building a SaaS tool to help agencies. What's your background in the agency world?
Well, I mean, it's really just our own. So unlike you, I did not start out in a large agency. I was an engineer back in the day doing control systems engineering or automation engineering. So at some point we were actually basically writing code for industrial processes, I guess. But then that's sort of tied over into actually creating software products. So Content Snare is actually our third product. And you know, previous ones have sold out or whatever, but that's where we started. The websites only happened because, like, the digital agency only happened because, as you know, if you do anything on computers, everyone assumes you know everything else about computers. So you tell people you're in software, and they're like, "Can you build me a website?" And while you're at it, like, recover some data off my hard drive and build me like an Uber app clone, but for puppies for $2,000. That's how we got into websites. A bunch of people asked us about it. We had been building our own websites previously, back in the days when you just made websites to try and get them ranked on Google and make money off ads back in those days. So we kind of had some experience and we thought, you know what, we'll just do good websites for people because it seems that a lot of people are kind of like not having great relationships with their web developers. And if we just do a good job, then we should be able to create a decent agency. And that's kind of what happened. We just started out with websites and then ended up doing other stuff like Facebook ads and Google ads and actually getting into digital marketing before coming full circle back into only websites because we just wanted to focus on being good at that one thing. And that's how our agency started.
Nice. And so you're an agency without an office, right?
Mm-hmm.
So how, I mean, that's, I know for a lot of people listening, they'll be in a similar kind of spot. They're trying to manage their remote teams and remote developers often who are hard to get hold of. How do you make remote working actually work, particularly when working with developers who can be unresponsive? What are your tips?
Yeah, so it's definitely an ongoing challenge. You know, we're not through it yet for sure. But there's definitely a couple of things. So I find a lot of the issues with vanishing developers that you mentioned and unresponsive developers tends to be because of hiring contractors. So I can't remember who told me about this a long time ago. Maybe it was James Stremko, but whoever it was, they only hired full time. Right. And when we switched to that model, which again, like we don't absolutely stick to that, but for a lot of our developers, they're on essentially full time. So they show up at whatever their 9 a.m. is and go home at their 5 p.m. We are flexible, but we expect, you know, a full work day every day unless, you know, something else, you know, that they just tell us that they've got something on or whatever, and we're happy to be flexible. But the fact that they are expected to work for us every day makes such a difference. It's huge.
Yeah.
And so we don't really have issues with people just vanishing anymore, like at all. And
well, look at you.
Yeah. We've definitely had some full-time people disappear. Like I remember one guy in the middle of a big project just vanished for 4 days. And I was like, where were you? And he's like, oh, I went up into the mountains and was hanging out there. I was still working on the project. I just didn't have access to Slack. I was like, that's not okay. you know, at least tell us or whatever, you know, we could probably work around that, but you know, needless to say, he doesn't work for us anymore. So that's kind of the answer I feel for people that don't want to, like, if you need access to people and you want them to be there every day and they're not, then move them on quickly.
Yeah. So, and I mean, you talked about Slack and that being a comms channel for you and your remote team. Tell us about what other tools you use to manage your projects internally.
So these days, it's pretty much just Jira. When we were doing websites, we used Teamwork projects. So we've actually, I don't think I said that yet, but we shut down the website part of the business just because we're doing too much stuff. So having the software agency and Content Snare is plenty. So we shut down that, but Teamwork projects was a really good system I found for like smaller, I don't know how it works on big projects because we run all of our big stuff through Jira and like a classic Kanban style board, and you can set sprints and, you know, assign people and have like stakeholder review. So like, move features through the process, then, like, you know, there might be a peer review stage. So another developer has to review it before it, there's like business logic built in so that if they don't, you know, check the code out or whatever and look at it, then it can't progress to stakeholder review. And then the client has to hit a button to approve it. And only then can it be rolled out to the, staging server. And after it's been tested, then it could go to the production server. So it's kind of like a pretty in-depth process for software. And Jira is one of the few that allows you to build in all these like rules that like that,
which can be annoying.
Oh man, like I did not set it up. Jira is an absolute dog of a tool. Like I'm not saying it's the most amazing, like,
no, I know.
Once it's
but you're right, but you're right. I think the fascinating thing about Jira is that people make this assumption, okay we're gonna bite the bullet, we're gonna get Jira, and then you get Jira, and then you're like, okay, who can anyone set this up? And then it's the same when you're setting up new boards or new projects, right? It's everyone's, there's normally one person who knows how to do it. And they're like, they're away. Okay, well, the project can't start then. But the great thing, I mean, the best and the worst thing about Jira is the workflows, and you can define these rules and it won't let you do stuff. So you can't move a card past a step. Mm-hmm. If it doesn't adhere to the workflow, you can't do it, which is incredibly frustrating as a project manager. But in terms of the workflow and ensuring that all the steps get done, it can be really powerful.
Yeah. I guess, like you say, it's frustrating for some things, but then it can also help manage that. Talking about managing remote developers before, and it's like a constant balancing act. Hey.
Yeah. For sure. Now, one of the things I know that you're massively keen on is productivity hacks. And you mentioned I read it somewhere, your Zapier stats. You've automated 9,000 tasks or something this month. What I'm sure RPM listeners would love to know are, which of your Zaps can we copy? What are your favorite Zaps, and what are you automating that you've found to be increase your productivity?
That's an awesome question.
You probably don't even know, because it's all automated and you've forgotten it's even a thing.
you're kind of right in a way, but I've actually had to go through them all lately, because I get this question sometimes, and especially because I'm in the middle of kind of recording how I use Zapier at the moment into like a course. And so I've had to go through and be like, what Zaps can people actually use? To me, it works more normally the other way. You have to know how to use Zapier, know what's possible, dig into the tools that you're already using and see what you can trigger workflows on, or what actions you can take in those tools with Zapier. And then with that knowledge, you can kind of build automations, knowing that, okay, when this happens, I want this other thing to happen. This is super simple, right? But in Jira, I have an automation that monitors every time someone moves a feature from one, or like a bug fix or something from one column, one stage to another in Jira.
Yeah.
When it gets rolled out onto our pre-production server, so right before it hits the public, it rolls all of those features up into a list. Like a digest, that's called in Zapier, and drops that into my Trello, because I use Trello to manage my own personal to-do list and life, basically. And so it drops a little card in, which has a list of all the features that were just rolled out in the last week, right? And I can quickly scan through those and then create a video about all of those features. It just saves me, I don't even have to log into Jira. I just see this is everything that's been rolled out. And I can go and make a video to explain all those new features to people, which I think is it's so simple, but it saves me a ton of time and mucking around.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah. But I mean, there's setting up documents. For example, you've just been interviewed on my podcast, and when you, booked in, you would have answered a whole bunch of questions about yourself and things we could talk about on the show. You can actually use Zapier to create templated documents. So I have a workflow, that we're going to go through during the podcast, and it'll actually duplicate that document and fill out all the bits of information with your name, or your details about your website and stuff like that. And puts it all in a document that I've got there for quick reference during the podcast. So that's another massive time saver. It's all just random stuff like this.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's anywhere, anytime that you're finding you're copying and pasting stuff, you shouldn't be copying and pasting it. There's probably a way to get that information in there without you doing anything. Oh,
double entry is huge. If you're putting the same information into multiple tools, that's the clear use case. But also when you change something based on something that happened in another tool, once you've sent someone an email, for example, you might have to go over into your CRM and move that person into you sent them at the proposal, and you move them into proposal sent stage or something in your CRM. That's the kind of stuff that can be easily automated with tools like Zapier.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like for us, it's for our Mastery in Digital Project Management school, we've got it all connected to Pipedrive and Google Sheets. And so, yeah, when different things happen, it gets changed everywhere so that we're not having to copy and paste or change statuses of things in different places when people sign up and pay and things like that.
Totally. I think a great use case for project management is like overviews and dashboards and stuff. Because a lot of people will just like change their decision for what project management tool they're going to use based on reporting. But a lot of time you can actually kind of create your own dashboards just by feeding all of the activity into like a Google Sheet or something, and then creating your own dashboards and reporting and telling yourself exactly what you need to know every day.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good use of it. But yeah, check out, I call it Zapier. James calls it Zapier.
The CEO calls it Zapier. So I'm going to roll with that.
Okay, you win. Cool. So let's talk about content snare then. And going back to this challenge, as web development agencies, trying to get content from clients and trying to get the right content from them and trying to get it in a timely manner and in the right format. And, you know, it's a nightmare because clients often don't have copywriting resources in-house, or they, you know, the clients have got a million things to do and it's the last thing on their priority list. So talk to us about Content Snare. It's a content workflow tool, but what does that mean exactly?
Yeah, so it started out very basic, right? Like the original idea was literally just a way, like we just wanted to eliminate the email trails because, as you know, it's like, oh, send me your homepage content. And then they send like a third of it or a half of it. And they've sent a picture that's like way too small. And then a logo that's like 16 pixels. And they're all attachments. And you have to like download them all and stick them in like a client folder. And then request changes on the images that were wrong and tell them why you can't use that bit of content. And then they'll send you something else that's got like red highlighting in it saying like, can you link this word to this page? Like we've all been there. It's crazy. And we end up with these email trails. I've had several actually that are so big, they lock up Gmail. Like I use Gmail still, just the web interface. Yeah. And once they start like cracking 100 emails long, they start really slowing down Gmail, and literally freezing on my like beastie desktop computer. So like it's insane. And like, there was no solution. I just went looking for a solution, and all I wanted to do was just have everything in one place. So we knew what was done, which like bits of content essentially were finished, which ones needed revisions. Like if it wasn't suitable for, you know, like we've asked for a homepage, a header, or like just the main heading, right? And it wasn't long enough or it was too long. We can like reject it and say, actually, this is too long. Can you, you know, come back and fix this, and also lock them in and say the maximum 100 characters or whatever it is, this is all the stuff we were dealing with. And that's why this is basically what we built into the product. So in short, the first version was really just like a bunch of kind of like a form. Imagine like a standard, web form, but they can access it through the same link. They can come back whenever they like and continue filling where they left off. There's no like having to save things. It just automatically saves as they type it in. They close the browser, come back later, and it's right where they left off. And the big part was chasing them up automatically through email. So being like, I used to have time scheduled every week to go through and see who we were waiting on and send all these emails out being like, hey, I noticed you've like done this bit, but not this. Can you like send us through whatever? So Content Snare will actually send those follow-up emails for you. And that's essentially, at a basic level, that's what it was.
Yeah. And yeah, I think that reminder functionality, particularly if it's coming from a tool, is a really powerful feature, because I think as project managers, we can be chasing people for content and not getting it. But when it's the system emailing you saying, okay, it's due tomorrow, just a reminder.
Yeah, they can kind of blame it on the tool. People seem to be in two distinct camps with this. They'll either want to email them manually still and actually switch off the reminders and like, because they want it to come from their personal, like, as you know, and be able to change the wording each time or whatever. But then some people are like, oh no, like it's great for client relationships because I can just blame it on the tool. Like they haven't done the work, and the tool automatically emails them. It's just how it is.
Yeah. Nice. And so, I mean, what's in the kind of roadmap for the tool? Where do you see, how do you see it evolving?
Oh man, there's so much. I've probably got 5 years worth of development on our roadmap. No, but, what we're realizing is that, the more larger agencies and enterprise that come on. So we've had some really, really large companies come on lately, like legitimate household names that like almost every single person would know the name of. And like that kind of blew my mind. I'm like, what are you guys using this tool for? And then, I just kind of laugh when they signed up. And what we're learning is people need more workflow stuff. So multiple collaborators, for example. So like getting, there might be multiple people within an organization that are responsible for different parts of content, whether that's different pages or even different sections within each page. So that's kind of what we have to do a lot of thinking about over the next few months, just to try and work out how we make that work in a simple way. Because that's always been our thing, is for clients, it has to be insanely simple. That's our next big release, is changing the way clients enter content to make it like focusing on one thing at a time. Like there's only ever one piece of content shown on the screen at a time, not like a traditional form anymore, because we find it's kind of overwhelming for people. So like this new version that we're releasing is all about just making things simple. And then, yeah, it's going to be workflow, like commenting, kind of like Google Docs, where you can tag people and in certain parts of content. That's what it's all going to be about, is collaboration, workflow, and just like getting multiple people involved. It's going to be a hell of a thing, undertaking, but we'll make it work.
Nice. Yeah. I think that's, as you're working with bigger, companies, that's the bigger challenges. Yes. You'll be maybe working with a marketing team, but they will be working internally with stakeholders. Yes. And it's like, okay, well, where are they managing? Where's the approval processes happening for that content in order to get it into your tool?
Yeah, and that's the other thing. Approval processes is another thing that comes up a lot. And like, yeah, thanks for mentioning that. I forgot about that, but that's a huge, because right now it's pretty much just like content is approved or not. And you know, now in the future, we're going to have to add like multi-stage workflows where like, you know, the manager might have to approve it, and then the CEO, and then the marketing person, you know, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, it's it's fun, right? But I think this, as a project manager, this can be one of the most frustrating things, because you think, hey, I'm doing my job, I'm getting on our side, we're there, and we've stuffed the site full of lorem ipsum, and it's looking great, and then you're like, I'm just waiting for you, client, to just give me what I need, and sometimes it's copy, and sometimes it's image assets or video. But it can be, if you don't have the content, then the thing's not done. In terms of like, I mean, you mentioned workflow, but in terms of content strategy and how that fits into the content architecture and how the tool helps agencies and clients evaluate what content they need on what pages and that kind of content hierarchy, how do you support that?
So right now it is fairly simplistic. It's really like the strategy would be done somewhere else, right? Like it's not I wouldn't call it a full planning tool yet. It's really just like defining the pages and what needs to go on each page, right?
Right.
And some of the more time saving stuff that people use is being able to save these bits and pieces as templates. So either saving a whole page, you know, sections of pages, whatever, or even like the entire content request that you would send to someone. You know, like a classic example there is like the initial questionnaire or briefing form. Some people actually use Content Snare for briefs, because briefs can be quite large. And so they'll just have that set up as a template and send it to the client. And then they can come back and fill that out in multiple sittings, unlike a typical form. But then, it's really, some people actually sit down with their clients with Content Snare in front of them and then build out all the different bits and pieces and then send it to the client right there. And then over the next few weeks, they can come back and fill it out. Planning is something I've been thinking a lot about because there's, I mean, we're definitely going to build a sitemap tool at some point where you can plan the hierarchy of pages first. But when it comes to like, you know, it depends how granular you want to go here. Like some people will do wireframes at that point, right? And I don't think we should be a wireframe tool because there's plenty of others out there. So we're actually looking at integrations and stuff with some other good wireframe tools, but I don't know totally how that's going to work yet.
Nice. Well, I think the Content Snare fills this gap in the process, which is you need some stuff from your client in order to get something live. And if you want to prevent that back and forth with emails or a million Google Docs and things getting lost, try contentsnare.com and see how it works for your projects. But James, thanks so much for joining us today.
Ben, mate, it's been awesome. Thank you so much.
So I wonder what you use to manage content. If you are using a tool or you've got an incredible process, I'd love to hear about it. Comment on the post below and let us know what you're using and how you manage it. And also head to thedigitalprojectmanager.com to join our membership where you'll find 3,000 people in our Slack team having all kinds of interesting conversations about content and development and managing projects through different tools. So come and join the team. And if you've liked what you've heard today, please subscribe and take a couple of minutes to leave a review. We'd love to know what people think. But until next time, thanks for listening.